Freedom. It's the most significant part of the foundation of our nation. Freedom to live, freedom to work, freedom to marry, freedom to read. Okay, maybe that last one isn't seen as a freedom by everybody. Instead, it's become a battle cry to ban books featuring content, even titles in some cases, that bother a small number of narrow-minded people. This past week, the issue of banning books was addressed by New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy when he signed the Freedom to Read Act into law. My first guest today is with us to discuss the significance of this new law and offer some ideas for books as Christmas and Hanukkah gifts, which, by the way, sadly is something I can't give because people just assume I got the books free from the publishers. But be that as it may, she's the director of the Hoboken Public Library, who's been a loud voice for the idea of book sanctuaries. Jenny Poo, how are you today, my favorite librarian?
I'm so happy, first, to be your favorite librarian, to be back on your show. Thank you.
HobokenLibrary.org is the website. If you just want a good website to go to learn about a library, maybe you haven't gone to one for a while, I think that's a great place to start. HobokenLibrary.org, and we do have that link at our homepage as well. So we've talked about in the past, but let's get into the significance of the Freedom to Read Act becoming law. What is this law now requiring and mandating, and more importantly, opening the doors for?
Well, I want to say first, so proud. New Jersey is just one now of nine states in the country that have passed this kind of legislation. And what it does simply, it does two things. One, it ensures that libraries in New Jersey stay open, that the books stay on the shelves, that yes, we follow a process. If you don't like a title, we follow that process. We don't take that book off the shelf. Not until we finish that process. And what ultimately this legislation says is, in New Jersey, we believe you should have the right to read what you want to read, not someone else. Two, the second thing this piece of legislation does is what's kind of personal to me as a librarian. It ensures that librarians continue to do our job in curating open, diverse, local collections without any fear of harassment, which librarians unfortunately have experienced the past few years for simply doing our job.
That's been the one of the sad aspects of this. I mean, fine if you have an objection. You certainly have the right to voice it. I don't think anyone has a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But to threaten librarians, as you say, who are doing the jobs with lawsuits, civil lawsuits, even arresting, threatening to arrest them, that's what that became, and that's why this act becoming law, which, by the way, I want to recognize two of the primary sponsors of the Freedom to Read Act, Senator Andrew Zwicker, Senate Majority Leader Therese Ruiz, who is a huge pro-education supporter, Assemblywoman Michelle Droulis, Assemblywoman Shavonda Sumter, and Assemblyman Herb Conway Jr. They were the legislative forces behind getting this onto the governor's desk for him to sign. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for doing that. And for the students, I think the benefit is, it sounds obvious, but a chance to learn about something that they are not maybe readily exposed to, either through their surroundings, their influences around them, to learn about the aspect, the realm of life that goes on out here in the world. That's, you know, why are we limiting kids' exposure to knowledge and awareness of not what is, but who is, when you think about it?
Absolutely. I mean, libraries have always been voluntary centers of inquiry. Keyword is voluntary, you know. If you like to read books about hunting, great. If you don't like books about hunting, you don't have to read them. And our libraries will continue to be, you know, those collections that are carefully, thoughtfully curated by librarians who understand the community, who we go by our core values of upholding the First Amendment and intellectual freedom. So I'm really proud that New Jersey, we got this to the finish line, and I'm really proud of the role that Hoboken Public Library, my particular role as co-chair of the New Jersey Library Association Public Policy Committee. I was one of many, many advocates across the state who provided testimony in the assembly, in the Senate, who, you know, lobbied our local elected officials to get this to the finish line.
Now, there is a time aspect to this. This isn't immediate, but it does start the clock with a year to implement fully. You talked about a process of review and and objection, and hopefully it'll be as public as possible, which I don't know if it goes before a library board, if it would be a good idea to go before a town council or a board of education. I guess that's also to be determined. But but in a perfect world, in your experience, how would you like to see that process be constructed?
Well, the process that is going to be, that's in the law, is pretty ideal. It's the state librarian will recommend, will come up with a model policy. Why it's ideal is that it helps a lot of our smaller libraries that may not have a robust policy already. It strengthens that. The fact is, most of our libraries, including Hoboken, we already have very robust and well thought out collection development and reconsideration policies. So this really helps those policies without that, you know, that framework to be able to implement it. And it ensures that the voices of those that we are charged to, you know, serve, it ensures that local voices are being heard, not someone from outside the state, not someone who doesn't live in the community is trying to impose, because that's what we were seeing.
Yeah, some of these objectors didn't even have kids in the schools in the district, either in the past or the current.
We got objections from people outside of New Jersey. In fact, I still get them from time to time. So, yeah, this legislation ensures that local control remains with our local community, that we're, you know, we're prioritizing the people we serve.
I think what we're going to find out sooner versus later is how few people actually do object in the community to book titles that are being called objectionable. We're talking with Jenny Poo, who is the director of the Hoboken Public Library, hobokenlibrary.org, their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And as you would expect, there are those who are objecting to the idea of this act being law, with their charge being, well, this is going to let pornography and grooming of children into homosexuality into our libraries. So how do you respond to that?
Libraries have always been thoughtfully curated. We have never had sexually explicit materials in our collections. I think that's just a code word for things they don't like, you know, topics they don't like people to read about, whether it's stories about LGBTQ people or is it stories about, you know, people of marginalized populations. Really, it's just code speak for, I don't want you to read about the lives of these people that we don't believe belong in our communities. You know, we want to enforce one way of thinking and one way of living. And frankly, that's not America, and that's not what our libraries are about.
I mentioned the website, hobokenlibrary.org. That is where, as I mentioned in the introduction, if you're doing some creative shopping for Christmas or Hanukkah and you're thinking, books, that could be something useful and something that could be fun, educational, all points in between. Well, Jenny has prepared a list of books of recommendations, which, by the way, in one section, the memoirs, biographies, that's going to be a first where I see Al Pacino on the same list with Ida Gardner.
Yes. And I would recommend both of them.
Well, especially with Ina's story, because a lot of people think they know her because of her work in TV and the Food Network and everything, but her story is a ton more than just that.
Her entire story is a ton about grit and just hard work and believing in her vision, yeah.
And for nonfiction, there's also cookbooks as well. You know, I'm looking at some of these selections, too. It's a way to learn about, especially with the cookbooks, you learn about culture through food, which I think a lot of people don't appreciate that fact of it. I mean, it's great if you're Italian, get an Italian cookbook, but why not get an Asian cookbook, for example, and learn about the long history of foods, which when a cookbook is done properly, it gives you that insight into the history of the food that you'll be using in the recipes.
Yeah, I'm starting Slow Noodles, a Cambodian memoir of love, loss, and family. And it's so interesting because the format, it's not a typical format where you have pictures and the recipe. The recipe is beautifully, it's woven into the narrative of her story, almost like the way you see poetry is woven in. And they're short recipes. I happen to enjoy that because I've traveled to Cambodia a few times and I happen to love the food. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the cookbook section because that's continuing to grow in our section. Very popular genre.
in historical fiction, too, I always enjoy. Again, when it's done right, it doesn't take a huge amount of, what's the word, poetic license with the history. But I think the if you combine the historical with a good storytelling, you bring people into wanting to explore more about the history.
Yeah, yeah, that's the magic about historical fiction. And I think that's also why we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We couldn't, it was hard for us to come up with our top 3 or 4, so we had to expand that category to like 8 titles. And by the way, the holiday book, our pick, is on our website in brochure format and PDF. You can just go online and it links right to the catalog, too.
So think of that. The Hoboken Public Library is going to help you do your Christmas shopping. You never thought you'd turn to a library for that, but guess what? Jenny and her crew has made that possible. You can find that and so much more about the Hoboken Public Library at hobokenlibrary.org. She is their director, a voice of strength and determination for books and their protection and their availability. Jenny Pooh, best of everything for you as we go out of this year into next year, because we never know what's going to hold, but and my bet's always on someone like you who is going to make sure things are done fairly, right, and fun for everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for being here.
Thank you so much, Chris, and happy holidays.